London by William Blake. I wander through each chartered street, near where the chartered Thames does flow, and mark in every face I meet marks of weakness, marks of woe. In every cry of every man, in every infant's cry of fear, in every voice, in every ban, the mind-forged manacles I hear. How the chimney sweepers cry, every blackening church appalls, and the hapless soldier's sigh runs in blood down palace walls. But most through midnight streets I hear how the youthful harlot's curse blasts the newborn infant's ear, tear, and blights with plagues the marriage hearse. So Blake was a Londoner himself, born and indeed died in London, from Lambeth. Unfortunately, demolished the building he lived in just before the First World War, and he's buried at Bun Hill Cemetery, London. They recently refound his grave about 10 years ago. So this is from the Power and Conflict series. So and there he is writing a social comment about injustice, exploitation, children forced to work, about prostitution, about the powerful abusing their power to mistreat the feeble. Right, so here he seems to be castigating the established church, the armed forces, the monarchy and so forth, and saying that the powerless are trodden into the mire, that there's a terribly inequitable situation. I wander through each chartered street. Well, a charter can be a document that grants rights. Maybe it's a reference to that. Cruelly ironic, saying that most people have very few rights indeed. No minimum wage, starvation wages for many back then. Or does he mean that it's on a map, like a chart? Right, so there he's walking almost aimlessly, but he could find these scenes of impecuniosity in every street in London at the time. But there is a lot of pathos to the poem. Right, and mark in every face I meet. Well, that's the face he sees, really. Marks of weakness, marks of woe. So what could that be? Could that be just unhealthy skin, wrinkles, rotten teeth, whatever? But he doesn't spell out, but woe is their suffering. So the way he repeats it is emphatic. So there's an unremitting bleakness to the poem. And could it be that they're marked as just like they're animals to be branded or something like that? And then lines 5 to 8, he writes, in every cry of every man, in every infant's cry of fear, in every voice, in every ban, the mind-forged manacles I hear. So he hears people's voices, okay, so that would be like a cacophony, and listening a man next to a baby. So every ban, as in people are forbidden to do various things. He's writing in the 1790s, the time of the Napoleonic Wars, and civil liberties have been severely abridged for fear there would be sedition and so on. A lot of things that people were not allowed to do anymore. It might lead to revolution. Mind-forged manacles. Manacles as in like handcuffs or chains. So that their minds are restricted socially, emotionally, psychologically. They're tricked by the press to people to oppose their own emancipation. So every suggests that everybody is impacted. Okay, and mentioning children as supposedly we sympathize more with children who are innocent and defenseless. They shouldn't be made to suffer. Right, so these are metaphorical chains, the mind-forged manacles. So people appear to be free, but in practice they're not. And in lines 9 to 10, how every chimney sweeper's cry. Remember, this is long before electricity, And so people were burning wooden coal at home, and a chimney sweep was a horrid job. Little boys, deliberately underfed to keep them skinny, to walk up and down chimneys or climb up and down chimneys to sweep them out. That's why there's that the book The Water Babies, Charles Kingsley, about it, because they lived such bleak, horrid lives. They're the most exploited children around. It was a very perilous job as well, and they could sometimes suffocate. So the soot would blacken the walls of the church. It appalls him, the blackening church. The Industrial Revolution was coming on, but black had such pejorative connotations. It wasn't really referring to black people back then, but words like blackguard and having a black heart and a black day, anything to do with mourning or evil. But it could mean that somehow things were tarnished. Either church, was it corrupt as well, because they tuned the pulpit and it was a bedfellow of the state. Its preachments were for really people to accept the settled order of things and not to seek their own betterment. Then we go on. What else does he say? Lines 11 to 12, and the hapless soldier's sigh runs in blood down palace walls. So the soldier is unlucky and there's nothing he can do. Perhaps is he dying? Because the army is there for the rich and against the poor, even if many of the soldiers are working class. The martinets have drilled automatism into them, and they've got no sense of class consciousness or solidarity. They're not doing anything for the ordinary people. And so blood down palace walls, as in would-be revolutionaries are killed. So the blood is of those of the poor and exploited. So this is his intention. And Blake was a sympathizer with the French Revolution, and he really excoriated the establishment in the United Kingdom. Palace, as in where the royal family would live, and there was a bitterly unpopular monarch, George III at the time, who was mentally ill. Lines 13 to 16, but most through midnight streets I hear how the youthful harlots curse, blast the new-born infant's tear, and blight with plagues the marriage hearse. So midnight streets, so walking around at midnight, harlot, a prostitute, a youthful one, is he suggesting that she's underage, and the legal age of consent was very young indeed back then, so it'd be scandalous these days. And the marriage hearse, as in sexually transmitted diseases which were passed around, syphilis in particular in those days, HIV didn't exist. And so a married man would go off to her, then infect his wife, children would be born syphilitic. Is this infant's he mentions is that the prostitute's own child, and so on. So there's a jarring contrast between a baby and this rather disagreeable situation of prostitution. The harlot using foul language. Is she cursing the city, the situation? And she's cursing a child, and what a terrible attack upon a child who's never done anything wrong. And perhaps she should cherish her child, but it's another hungry mouth to feed, which she really can't afford. Maybe that's what's forced her into renting out her own body. Okay, marriage meaning to join, but then the hearse it can obviously be the cart that takes a coffin to the graveyard. Okay, so is an example of social criticism. And he wanted everybody to understand. He writes in fairly simple language to consider our messages. It's a straightforward four-stanza poem. He's written in the first person. There is smouldering passion throughout, and he's talking about his experience of London. It's cyclical in structure. Remember, the first and second stanzas are about the impact on people. The third looks at what's causing the suffering, and the fourth looks at the impact of it again. So there seems to be this endless immiseration of the masses. There's control and power as a theme. He's writing it in iambic tetrameter. Okay, so four metrical feet per line. All the quatrains have the A-B-A-B rhythm. So there's a regularity to it. There's a dynamism to it. Is it perhaps too repetitive and tedious? What do you think? So only seven syllables in one of the lines, the marks of weakness, marks of woe. So we notice that. So it's about power and oppression. He wants liberation for everyone, men and women. You know, when he said chartered, is he talking about privatization and so forth? So he's got this imagery of blood. There's anaphora, every, repeated seven times. He uses all sorts of symbols like palace and church and so on. He was contumelious of organized religion. He uses metaphors like mind forged. Okay, so that's it. He's a poet of the Romantic era, and he was a radical, looking at the enormous gulf between the wealthy and the indigent back then. He was a Christian, but he realized how the church had abused religion to simply speak up for the rich and to denounce the poor and say they deserve no sympathy. But he empathizes with the powerless and the oppressed. Okay, all right. So the Thames continues to flow. Maybe there's some hope that the justice will triumph in the end.